سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، when we want to organize something or plan something or want to make a program for our life, whether it's personal or whether it's for a community, whenever you are planning to do something, the worst mistake that a person can make is that he lists out the things that he wants to do on a paper, and after making the lists, looks at that list and wants to go about tackling every one of them and each one of them one by one. With such a method, a program like this and a plan like this will never succeed. Because by the time you start to go through the list of things you want to do, you will see that it becomes overwhelming and you are unable to achieve what you set out to do. So, a better way to organize yourself and to plan things for yourself, anything that you plan, for example, you want to open a business, how do you open a business? If you want to rectify your accounts, how do you do that? If you want to improve yourself, how do you do that? Again, the worst way of doing it is to make a list of things that I want to do and then try to tackle every one of them. That sort of organization never works. The best way to do things is to identify what is the most crucial issue in the list. Go through the list and see what is the issue that is most important in the list, and an issue through which many other issues are solved. If you go about it and pinpoint that issue which will solve many other issues and try to deal with that, then you will see that your effort will be less and your accomplishment will be more. This is how Islam encouraged us to organize things, and also dunya also encourages us to organize things and plan things. Instead of trying to make sure that we do all the things, no, just try to do that one thing that will solve many things. And I'll give you some examples in different fields so that you understand what I'm saying. If you send me a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's say in akhlaq, I want to improve myself. I want to improve my akhlaq. Again, now with the method that I mentioned, the worst thing you can do is write down all your defects. For example, I do ghibat. I, for example, lie, I cheat, I do this, and I do that. You go through all the things, you write them down on a piece of paper and say, you know what, these are the things I do, and for example, I don't pray, I don't fast, I don't do these things, I don't give my khums, you know, all the things you write down on one side and say, okay, I have my chart ready, I want to improve myself, so now I want to go and try to implement each and every one of these things on the list, and inshallah I will be able to get that. Such a plan never works, and Allah also knows this is not going to work, because by the time you stop and try to control your ghibat And you come to Lae, then you see that the rebirth comes back again. And after a while you become frustrated, lose hope, and do not want to change after that. So Allah, if you know that we have so many problems that we have inside of ourselves, how do we change this? What is that one thing that Allah has given that can solve all these problems? And instead of trying to go through those problems, go to that one problem, and by that one problem you will solve all the other problems. What is that one thing in Islam that Allah gave that is going to solve all our akhlaqi issues? Whether you do riba, whether you have ujub, whether you have takabbur, whether all of these things are solved by that one problem, but one issue, if we rectify that one issue, all of that is solved. Allah, what is that? You need to tell us that. Otherwise, if we want to go and solve our takabbur, our ujub, and our ghibat, and our all these things, we will never make it. We will always be frustrated. Allah knows this. So the best way He has given you, He has said in the Quran, then I'm going to give you a pill that's going to solve all your akhlaqi problems. That magic pill that will solve all your akhlaqi problems, all the evil that comes to you, it will be solved by that one pill that I'm giving you. If you take that pill on time, then all your problems, your negative problems, your evil problems will be solved. What is that pill? As-salatu tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salat is that pill. Prayer is that pill. Allah is saying, if you pray, then it will protect you from all the munkarat, from all the evils, from all the things that are happening to you that are negative and evil. It will protect you from that. As-salatu tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. Do this and it will protect you from everything. You see that one thing, Allah is saying, if you do this one thing right, then everything else will be alright. I'll give you an example. You see, a lot of people, you know, because nowadays, you know, the subject of Irfan has become well known amongst youngsters. Right? Irfan. No, Ilmul Irfan. Right? And nowadays we have all kinds of youngsters running around claiming to be Urafa. Right? And they have no clue what Irfan is, but you know they do claim to be Urafa. Now, if you go to a real Arif, for example in our time, let's say Ayatollah Behjat. Many people used to go to him and ask him, Ayatollah Behjat, how do we go to the higher levels of Islam and get, you know, that qurba with Allah and that qurb with Allah? How do we do that? How do we get near to Allah? So his only answer was as-salat awwal al-waqt. He said, pray at the first time. Wow, that's it. I mean, that's for children. We tell that to our children. I mean, they thought they would get an irfani answer, you know, a very deep answer, complex, you know, that they won't understand. They can say that, you know, he told us this. And these people would go back to him again, and they would again ask him, how do we get close to Allah? And the same answer we'd give, as-salat awwal al-waqt, pray at the first time. He says, but you said that the last time we came here. Well, yes, I'm saying it again this time because you didn't rectify your prayers yet. That's why you're not going close to Allah. Inshallah, I will explain this in Ramadan about prayers. You know how important this is, right? But I'll just mention one thing right now and I'll give the details of it later. So don't ask me about the details of this thing I'm going to mention right now. My friends, I want you to understand this. You heard about Jihad-e-Akbar, jihad with your nafs. You heard about this jihad with your nafs, that you do jihad with your nafs about all these things, this and that, to improve yourself, to make yourself better, To make yourself grow closer to Allah. My friends, the only real place of Jihad-e-Akbar, the only battlefield of Jihad-e-Akbar is Salah. There is no other battlefield. Only in prayers can you improve yourself. Only in prayers are you able to go closer to Allah. Nothing else. Everything is in prayer. That's it. Your growth is in prayer, your weakness is in prayer. That's it. That's where everything is. There's a reason why Allah said, As-salatu tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. He said that, why? Because there's a reason. So, one thing of prayer is so important that it solves so many problems. Instead of us trying to rectify our ujub, our takabbur, our ghibat, and all these things, if we can make our prayer better, then everything else is solved. You see that? Allah is giving one job. This is the way of organization. I'll give another example. So you understand how one issue, tackling one issue, one important issue is better than trying to tackle many unimportant issues. Or not unimportant, but lesser important. I'll give another example of tarbiyat, of children. Many people right now, nowadays, all of you who have children, would understand this and how hard it is for people to raise their children as muttaqi, as saleh, righteous individuals. How hard it is for you all to do that. You're trying to tell them something, this and that, and let's teach them this, let's teach them Quran, let's teach them rules, let's teach them ahkam and fiqh and all of these things that you're trying to teach them. But you see that many of our children again and again are being lost. And people, they don't realize that there's one pill Allah gave to rectify the problems of children. Really, you don't need to do all those things. You don't need to do many things. I'm just going to give you one secret. If you do that, then everything else will be solved, I guarantee it. Everything else will be solved. If one pill is taken, then everything else is solved in tarbiyah. What is that pill? Pay close attention to what I'm saying. What is that pill that will solve the problems of tarbiyah in children? It's very simple. My friends, that pill is making an environment in the house, an environment in the house where the mother teaches the children that your father is the wali, and the father teaches the children that the mother is the love of the house. If the wife is the nucleus of the love of the house, and the man is the wali of the house, then in that understanding you see a child who's being raised would never be imbalanced, will always find balance. That's all you need to do. A person, because I deal with issues of marriage and divorce and so many types of things, a person came to me and said, you know, Maulana, my son just got married. My son just got married, it's been 1 year and he wants to divorce his wife. And he wants to divorce his wife. So I said, alright, let me talk to him. Spoke with him. He said, you are a good boy, you're religious and everything, you know. Why do you want to divorce your wife for? He said, Mara, I can't take her anymore. I had it with her. I can't take her anymore. Isn't that? I said, it's been only 1 year, that's it? And you want to get rid of her in 1 year? And then I understood. I said, listen, so the dad asked me, well, Marana, what happened? Did you speak with him? I said, yes, what happened? He said, what's the problem? So I asked the dad the question. I said, you are the father. I want to ask you a question. Did you used to put down your wife and ridicule her in front of your children? Did you used to put her down and ridicule her and make fun of her in front of your children? And make her look bad? He said, but what does it have to do with design. It has everything to do with that. Now your son has also learned not to respect a woman. He has also learned not to respect a woman. This is where the problem comes. If you had taught and given the love of your wife to your children, then they would grow up to be balanced. You make the mistake. A mother comes to me and she tells me that my daughter, she doesn't wear hijab. Right? She doesn't wear hijab. I said, you know, there are many daughters who don't wear hijab. What do you want me to do? I can't force her to wear hijab. He said, well, no, I'm the teacher of Quran in the madrasa. What will people say? No, so you teach the Quran in the madrasa, you know. You're ustad of the Quran in madrasa, and now you have a problem like this. You know, and he said, and she asked me, please talk to the daughter. I said, I don't need to talk to the daughter. He said, why not? Because I know where the problem is. What's the problem? He said, tell me, you know more about Islam than your husband, don't you? He said, yes. I said, was there a time in your life when you used to speak over him and loud to him in front of your children? He said, yes. He said, well, what does that have to do with this? He said, this is the problem right now. This is the result of that. Because of your attitude toward your husband, because your husband is less knowledgeable than you in Islam, you used to speak loud to him. Now your daughter also does not want to listen and she does not want to obey Allah. This is where the problem is. My friends, one issue in akhlaq, in harbiyat will solve the problem. Again, if the man of the house teaches the children that the mother is the love of the house and she is the one that you need to love, and the wife teaches the children that the father is the wali of the house, you must listen to his command. If this is done in the house, then every child raised in such an environment will grow up to be a balanced child without any defects. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. See, my friend, understand this. This is how Allah has given us keys. And I'm giving you these things so you understand. There's a reason behind this. And Allah says that the role of the messenger, role of Rasulullah was what? يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ is to do what? To teach kitab and hikmah. Teach the book and wisdom. Did you ever think why? What is wisdom doing next to book? What is hikmah doing next to kitab? I mean, if he had just said that his job is to teach kitab, what was the problem in that? What was the problem in that? The fact is, my friends, book or Quran doesn't make you a human being. It is hikmah that teaches you how to be a human being. The book can give you the guidelines, but it is hikmah that tells you where to apply those guidelines. The book can give you the teachings, but it is hikmah and wisdom that tells you where to use those teachings. That is why hikmah is necessary, wisdom is necessary when kitab is mentioned. Otherwise, what is the kitab? Kitab doesn't make you a human being, insan. It is hikmat with kitab that makes you a human being, my friends. This is why it's important for us to understand where to apply what things. Where to apply what things. Now I want to come to my subject. This was an introduction I gave you. So I want to come to my subject that I want to speak about. You know, that one thing we should look for that can solve many problems in us. If you try to solve those little problems, you'll become frustrated in life. Most people become frustrated and they lose hope and they say, you know what, I don't want to deal with this. What is that one problem? That one issue? That's what we have to identify. That's what hikmah teaches us. So now, my friend, let me tell you this. What is that one issue that Islam gave us that will help us, that will prevent us from getting into all evil and help us to acquire all the virtues? What is that one thing that Islam gave us? And And this thing that Islam gave us is such that it's not liked by the people and it's hated by shaitan. Even the Muslims don't like it. It's bitter for them. But that one thing is such that it can solve your problems of involving any evil, or and it will solve you, it will help you to go and make yourself better in every type of virtue. That one thing. That one thing that is ignored by many people who don't want to mention it. In fact, ulama don't want to speak about it that much. You hardly hear about it. What is that one thing that Allah gave us that is so beautiful that if we can understand that one thing and apply that one thing, then all our problems are solved. My friends, that one thing that Allah gave us that is going to solve our problems and is going to help us to gain virtues and good qualities and akhlaq and everything is called takleef. It's called takleef. Obligations. Takleef. Obviously, when you heard the word takleef, you're like excited at first and you're like, what? Obligation? That's it? You thought it was going to be a big shabak. Happened to be a small one. But I want to tell you something. And I want to make us understand about takleef, my friends. In the time I have right now, I will give an introduction. Inshallah, in the next days, I will go in details. But understand this, my friends. Takleef. What is takleef? You know, as I mentioned this, really, when we mention about takleef, takleef is what? Wujub. Meaning wujub. Obligation. You know, salah is wajib. You know, sawm is wajib. Hajj is wajib. This wujub that we have on our shoulders, burden that we have on our shoulders, that takleef. That takleef, my friends. This is something else. It's different than du'as and mustahabat and all these things. No, takleef of wujub is something else. If you want to be good, then takleef is the only way. Takleef is the only way. Obligations are the only way to be good. If you want to feel good, then there are many other things. Until now, you know, obviously, you know, it's been a little bit dry. Right? So, I'll change the environment a little bit. Give me 5 minutes and I'll make you happy. And I want to see you. I want you to be happy. Then I want to explain something to you. Give me 5 minutes. You know? And you'll see this. A person came to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And said to him, "May yuhasibana yawm al-qiyamah." He said, "Ya Rasulullah, who's going to account for us on the Day of Judgment? Who's taking our accounts?" You know, it's not the IRS. You know, if it was the IRS, you have to worry. You know, problem there. "May yuhasibana yawm al-qiyamah." Rasulullah said, "Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah is going to take account of us." So then, the man, when he heard that Allah is going to take my account, he started to jump up and down with his hand and said, "Najawna, Najawna wa Rabbil Kaaba." "I'm successful, we are successful by the Kaaba." And the Sahaba and the companions were like, "What are you talking about, your companion? You know, this and that. What are you talking about?" He told you, "Yeah, Allah is going to take account. Now we can relax and we go. That's it, you don't have to worry about anything." He said, "Why is that?" "Because Allah is Kareem, innahu Kareem. Allah is Kareem." And then they turned to Rasulullah and said, "Ya Rasulullah, look at this. Look at this man, what he's saying. Is he right in saying that?" Rasulullah said, "He has recognized Allah very well. He has recognized Allah very well." You feel happy? Feel good? That Allah is going to take account of. He's Kareem. He's Rahman. Friends, you felt good. You felt good. I'll say something else to make you feel better. Right? Say something else. Like, you know, this is only 1 minute. I asked you for 5 minutes. I asked you for 5 minutes. Right?
You know, one day Rasulullah speaking with Allah, making dua, and says, he said, Allah, this Yawm al-Hashr and Yawm al-Hisab, the day of judgment, is going to be a very hard and difficult day. A day where tubla saraya, where the secrets of everyone are going to be brought out. All the secrets of people are going to be brought out. You know, everyone will be exposed. Friends, the only reason you have respect amongst others is because we are not exposed yet. If Allah exposes us, then we can't face each other. We will be too embarrassed to face each other. Rasulullah is saying on the day of judgment, when people will be brought out and will be exposed, you will stand naked. Every sin you have done, every evil you have done will be brought out. Rasulullah said, Ya Allah, on that day, when everyone will be exposed, when people will be exposed, Allah, I ask you about my ummah. Do not expose my ummah in front of other people. Do not expose this ummah of mine in front of other people. When Rasulullah asked this question to Allah, look what he's asking. He's saying, Allah, do not, this is my ummah, do not expose them. Don't make them look bad in front of others. When Allah heard this dua, He said, Ya Habib, my messenger, Ana ar'afu ibadi minka, I am kinder and more compassionate to my servants than you are. I am more compassionate than you. And then after that He said, أُحَاسِبُهُ بَهْدِي بَهَيْثُ لَا يَتَّلِعُ عَلَىٰ عَصَرَاتِهِمْ غَيْرِ I will take account of them in such a way that your ummah, I will take them to one side of mahshar, from away from everyone else, so that no one knows what their accounting is other than me. Not even you will know about it. See how much Allah loves you. The Ummah of Muhammad. How much He loves you. See, my friends, this is Allah. He is even concerned about your reputation in respect of the day of judgment. How much He cares about us. How much He cares about us. You know, this makes you feel good. And this is what I want to tell you now, my friends. If you want to feel, do you want to feel good? Or do you want to be good? Hadith like these, riwayat like these, are many, and I can mention many of them. But all of them are there to make you feel good, so you can be inclined to become good. But it doesn't make you good. So now you have a choice. Do you want to be good or do you want to feel good? This is the choice that you have. Do you want to be good or do you want to feel good? If you want to feel good, I can go on saying these riwayat and make you feel good. But if you want to be good, then listen to what I'm saying right now. You know when you will be good? You will be good when Allah comes to you and embraces you with His mercy and rahmat and compassion. He embraces you and whispers in your ear, Ana uhibbuka, I love you. Then you are good. That's when you are good. When Allah comes to you, embraces you with His mercy and tells you, I love you. Maulana, when does that happen? In our sleep? No, it happens when you're awake. It happens when you're away. Well, when does it happen? When does Allah embrace us and tells us, I love you. I regard you as so important that I love you. He says, when Allah makes His amr wajib on you. When Allah makes His amr wajib on you, He regards you so good. He regards you so good says, I make it wajib on you now. My amr is wajib on you. No, my friends, tell me. Understand this very much, and really I won't explain this, but I'll explain this tomorrow more. But understand this very well what I'm saying. How do you rejoice in Allah? How do you rejoice in Allah? What makes you feel good about Allah in your relationship? As a personal relationship. What makes you feel good? You know, that, you know, I love Allah. What makes you love Allah? Is it His mercy that He shows so much mercy on you? Is it because of the fact that He gives you rizq, He's razik? And He gives you rizq, and this rizq is from Him, and you thank Allah and appreciate. That's how you rejoice in Allah? Or is it the fact that Allah is merciful, He's going to forgive your sins and your mistakes? That's why. What makes you rejoice in Allah? What makes you closer, that link you have with Allah? What makes you do that? Everyone has different ways. But if your link with Allah is because He's razik, because He's Rahman, my friends, He's razik also to dogs and pigs. He gives them rizq also. You're saying Rahman, He's also Rahman to pigs and dogs and animals. If you are saying that He's my Khaliq, well, He's the Khaliq of pigs and dogs also, and animals. So what has made you different than others that you are insan and a mu'min and a believer? What has Allah done for you that's special? My friends, what makes you different from haywan and animals is the fact that Allah has given you His amr and made things wajib on you that He hasn't made wajib on animals. This is why an abd, he gets lazzat out of the amr from his master, Mawla. If you're an abd, then that lazzat is there. My Mawla has given me an answer. My friends, understand this. This amr is so important. If you don't have amr, you don't have an identity. You don't have an identity. And I'll tell you why. You know, a person, if you look in the world, people are proud of their identity. If you look in America, people are proud of being an American. When the flag is raised, they stand up. You know, the Americans stand up with a hand on their chest, sing the national anthem, and give our pledge of allegiance to the flag. Why are you proud of that? Because of the fact that when you are a citizen of a nation, what does that mean? It means that you are bound by the laws of that nation. So people, when they have laws, when they have amr, when they have wujub and obligations, that's when they find an identity in themselves. Someone who doesn't have amr, someone who doesn't have commands, he's a person who is lost without an identity. It is amr that gives you an identity. Allah has given you the amr of fasting. Now you're in the amr of Allah. You are obeying Allah's command. You can walk around with pride and say, hey, listen, I have orders. I am someone who's important. I'm not an unemployed, foolish person sitting around on welfare. No, I have something to do. I take orders. I have a master who's giving me orders. This is, my friends, it is our identity. The amr of Allah is our identity. This is where we bring it, take lazzat, the pleasure in doing the things for Allah. Really, my friends, tell me, if Allah, because Allah regards us so good, He gives us amr. Now I want to ask you one question so you understand it better. Tell me, is Salatul Layl wajib or mustahab? You can say it loud. Alhamdulillah. Salatul Layl is mustahab. You know why it's mustahab? Because Allah did not regard you good enough to give you that obligation. Because we are not good enough for that. Rasulullah was good enough for that. He said, Ya Rasul, this is something I regard you so good enough that you do this obligation. And it's only because we are weak that Allah hasn't made it wajib on us. But He has made wajib on us because He regards us as good enough to do it. Good enough to do it. This is a lazzat in that. I love doing this. This is where I find my rejoicing in Allah. Allah, give me that command so I can do it. When the master commands me for something, it does good. 1 minute, I'll go to Karbala. 1 minute. And we'll end the speech there. 1 minute. And I want you to understand this. You know, Imam Hussain alayhi salam. You know, he told everyone to leave. He told everyone to leave, right? I mean, when you look at it, all his companions, all his relatives, he was telling them to leave. Go, go, go away. This is a war between me and them. Let them kill me. You don't need to be here. Go. Everyone. Muslim ibn Usajja, Habib ibn Madahir, everyone, he was telling them to leave. Leave. Right? You know, there was one person he asked that person to stay. In fact, he asked that person to be with him. That one person, he asked to stay. Now he was asking, please stay with me. It wasn't Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Even Abul Fadl al-Abbas, who was the flag bearer, he asked him to leave. Take leave. That one person that Imam Hussein wanted to stay, wanted that person to stay and to be with him till the end. You know who that was? That was Zainab al-Kubra. That was Zainab. Just one thing I want you to understand here. You know, with all the hardships that are in Karbala, there could be shahada, there could be difficulties, and there were difficulties. You know what Zainab went through. You know what she went through. Imam Hussain asked her to be with him. When Imam Hussain asked her to be with him, I just want you to think about one thing. I just want you to think of what kind of pleasure and lazzat Zainab had in listening to the command of her Mawla. What kind of lazzat she had and pleasure she had that Hussain has asked me to stay. And this is the lazzat that one gets when he listens to the command of his Mawla. That is the lazzat. Could you imagine it that way? This is where. And when you understand it that way, then you will know that truly the amr of Allah, the wujub of Allah is where we get our true pleasure. And inshallah, I will explain this more inshallah in the next few days. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. His wisdom to understand His guidance, His reassurance of Imam, because His help and He comes ma'afu ta'fana and alhamdulillah bil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Inshallah, we'll get ready for the prayer. The azan time is almost here, inshallah. 4 minutes for azan time, so inshallah, just make the lines and get ready. So we can, I will do the question answers from tomorrow because of the lack of time.
Allez. Ben midem, hemen şöyle hemen bu. Ağır döşüm. Yine her döşüm mü? Thank you.
Thank you.